Let's pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been in an earthquake? A literal earth-shaking, buildings-moving earthquake? I never have. All I have to go on are the news reports and the videos and the movies. To have the very earth shake beneath you, where would you go for stability? You could run out into the street, but it's shaking too. It sounds incredibly unsettling. Earthquakes bring death and devastation behind them. And depending on where the earthquake starts, sometimes an ensuing tsunami causes more damage than the earthquake did. Within the last decade or so, there have been big, devastating earthquakes in Haiti, in Indonesia, in Nepal, and in Japan. The Bible predicts that earthquakes will increase as the time of Jesus nears. So if you can't depend on the ground you're standing on, what on earth should you do? Earthquakes bring death and devastation in their wake. Normally. Most of them, that is. Not the ones we're talking about today. Easter earthquakes raise the dead, not result in the dead. If you have a Bible with you on your phone or near you or somewhere, I encourage you to get it out and look with me so that you can tell that I'm telling the truth. So, Matthew chapter 28. The crucifixion was a figurative earthquake, and it had happened just a couple days earlier. The hopes and dreams of an entire generation had been shaken and crushed when Jesus had been killed. A tsunami of doubt and grief and anguish had followed when it became apparent that Jesus was not going to work another miracle and save himself from the horrors of crucifixion. All of that's recorded in Matthew 27. 2 days later, the death toll from the tsunami stood at one. Judas, who had taken his own life in regret, with scores of other Christ followers missing. Then Matthew 28, a couple of Marys who weren't very merry at all, sorry, just had to do that, but they were filled with grief and in a daze, they headed to the tomb to complete one last act of love and devotion for their dead leader, the person they thought would be their savior. They hadn't been able to properly anoint his body for burial on Friday because the sun was going down and the Sabbath was about to start. They obviously weren't thinking very clearly because the tomb was blocked by a huge stone and a whole squadron of Roman soldiers. They didn't have a plan. All they had was love that was looking for an outlet. Do you see it in verse 2? There's a violent earthquake. But do you know what this earthquake did? It didn't unsettle things. It settled them. It didn't destabilize the environment. It stabilized it. It didn't create panic. It created peace. It didn't unhinge things. It cemented them. Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. Yes, you can say it. He actually is who he said he was. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. And your God too. Do you know what this means? Now, I'm not saying that the earthquake is literally what raised Jesus from the dead. That somehow, like, Jesus was in a really deep sleep and the earthquake woke him up. Not saying that at all. If you're looking for a resurrection, I'm not suggesting that an earthquake is the key ingredient. How exactly did Jesus rise from the dead? How did a mangled, shredded, pierced, battered, abused body like the one Jesus had now support life? Not a clue. If you had all kinds of electrical monitors and stuff hooked up to him while he was in the grave, I have no idea what they would have recorded at the moment of the resurrection. And I have no idea if the earthquake had anything to do with it or not. The earthquake revealed an empty tomb, but I don't know that the earthquake explains an empty tomb. I just know that there was one, both an earthquake and an empty tomb. And I know that this earthquake made everything better, not worse. Did you know that this earthquake, the Sunday earthquake, this Easter earthquake, wasn't the first one that week? The Gospel of Matthew tells us of another literal earthquake that happened on Friday. Do you suppose the Sunday one was an aftershock, or was the Friday one the foreshock? I had to look that up. That's actually what it's called. It's called a foreshock. Look back at what happened when Jesus died at that very moment. It's Matthew 27, starting around verse 50. And here's why I wanted you to follow along, so you can make sure I'm reading it right. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, if that seems like an insignificant detail, it's because you aren't familiar with the Jewish temple. The curtain wasn't a little decoration like over the kitchen sink. It was the separation between where God was thought to be and where people could go. When the curtain was torn in two, it meant that God was no longer separate from or distanced from people. That's a really big deal. This Easter thing changes everything. Continuing, it says, the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. See, these Easter earthquakes raise the dead. They don't create the dead. It says, just keep reading. It says, they came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Now let's compare these two earthquakes. The first earthquake on Friday caused structural damage at the temple. The other one reports no damage. The first one, the Friday earthquake, caused rocks to split apart. The Sunday earthquake moved a rock. The Friday earthquake caused tombs to break open and several dead people to come to life. And all right, let's stop right there. What could possibly top that? I mean, that's kind of a big deal, don't you think? Don't you find it interesting that the first earthquake, the Friday one, got buried in section C of the news, page 47, in the little column down at the bottom? A whole bunch of dead people brought to life seems like something worth paying attention to. If a 9.0 earthquake were to get lost in the news 2 days later, whatever dwarfed it would be a really big deal. And yet it turns out that the Friday earthquake was just a foreshock. We hardly ever talk about it, even in the church. I'm willing to bet that some of you who've been in the church a long time never noticed those verses before. And the reason that we don't pay any attention to it is because the big news is what happened with the big one on Sunday, because it reveals that God was in the tomb. That's the one that the whole rest of the New Testament keeps referring to. The tsunami caused by the Easter earthquake is still rolling in 2,000 years later. See, here's the deal. If death couldn't hold Jesus, the nails certainly couldn't. Turns out it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross at all. It was his love for us. So if sometime recently there were some awful words that you spoke, the aftershocks that still might be playing out can be stopped today at the cross. That dirty deed you did that wrought such awful destruction, it can be buried where Jesus' body used to be. There's an empty tomb just waiting for you to dispose of it in. In every generation, on every continent, in every nation, in every time zone, for 2,000 years, there are people getting wet by the tsunami of Jesus' love that is still rolling in. It happened this morning at the sunrise service. It'll happen today, maybe here. For sure, it's going to happen all across the city. There will be people today, right here, who get touched by the waves, by the aftershocks of this Easter earthquake. Now, there's all kinds of evidence to support what the Bible says happened 2,000 years ago. Some of you don't know me real well. My undergrad degree is in mechanical engineering, so I kind of like facts. I like dealing with facts. And there are so many facts surrounding the resurrection. Something happened. You have to come up with an explanation for it because it literally changed history. We mark time by this event, by the life and death of Jesus. It changed the course of history. So you have to explain it somehow, and I don't have enough faith to support any of the alternative explanations. That takes way more faith than I've got. If you do, bring it. Let's hear it. But that's all fine and well. The real proof is when the tsunami touches you. You can argue all you want, but once waves of Jesus' love reach you and get you wet, well, you've just been Easter earthquaked. The Easter earthquake is the big one. The Easter earthquake is the one that reveals the most significant event in all of human history that shakes things to their absolute core. If there is a God, and if he came to earth, that's something you'd want to know. If that same God willingly chose to die so that you can freely choose to live, that's pretty good information to have. If Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," and we're still running around trying to fill in gaps that actually aren't even there, well, that would be really valuable information. Now, literal earthquakes are intended to point us to the kingdom of God, the one thing that can't be shaken. Jesus tells us ahead of time what's coming so that when it actually happens, our faith can grow. And we have not only the Bible, but we have a God who didn't just hand us a book and tell us to read about it, but a God who's still speaking today. But figurative earthquakes can be just as effective. There can be things happen that shake our world. I'll bet some of you have had some this last year. There can be things happen that shake our world, that knock our feet right out from under us. In those moments, we have the opportunity to try to rebuild on sand, to pick up the same pieces and put them right back together, right over on top of the same fault lines. Or we can do something different. We can build on a stronger foundation. We can build on the rock of Jesus Christ, stronger, deeper, more secure. Oh, I pray that's what you'll do. I pray that's what we will all do, the decision that every one of us will make today. I pray that. The Bible says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, revealing the kingdom of God that can never be shaken. That's where you want to build your life. I'd love to be able to promise you a world where the seas were perfectly calm and the winds never rose above a gentle breeze. I'd love to do that, but I can't. I can't promise you that kind of world. Here's what I can do. I can point you to the one who calms the storms, the one who walks on the water, the one who calls you out of the boat, and the one who will reach out to grab you if you start to sink. You can know him. You can build your life on him today. So if you haven't already, will you commit your life to Jesus Christ today? I suppose it could take another earthquake to shake you up enough to re-examine your priorities, but I sure hope not. It doesn't have to take another one. You can wait for the coming financial earthquake, or wait for the next pandemic earthquake, or wait for another war earthquake, or wait for another January 6th earthquake. Something to hit a little bit closer to home, but I sure hope you won't. If you've been the living dead for a while now, why not just drop the dead part and go with the living part? If you already have committed your life to Jesus Christ, today would be a great day to rededicate yourself to him. Let him shred the grave clothes that might still be clinging to you. Let him heal the wounds and the hurts that you're still carrying. Let him lighten your burden and relieve your anxieties. There is peace in Jesus Christ, great peace. The Easter earthquake doesn't create panic. It creates peace. It doesn't unsettle things. It settles them. It doesn't unhinge things. It cements them. Jesus is alive. God is bigger than your problems. We worship a great God. Death couldn't hold him, so nothing that you've got going possibly can. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I invite you to join me now as we pray. I'm going to pray a prayer of dedication, commitment to Christ. And if that's what's in your heart, I invite you to just pray right along with me as I pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are indeed Lord Jesus. You are Lord of life and Lord over even death itself. There may be doubts, but ultimately, Lord, I trust you today that you are who you said you were, that you came down from heaven to take on flesh, that you walked this earth perfectly, that you taught the ways of God, that you gave your life on my behalf, and that you have risen victorious over the grave. Lord Jesus, even if I still have doubts that I struggle with, I want to cross the line and pray to you today. I trust you, Lord Jesus. I give you my life either for the first time or once again. And I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit so that life is never the same again. Let that Easter earthquake shake me for the good. We pray today in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen.